Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Rob, nobody's listening. Tell me the truth. You're a little hurt. You're not going to get to go to all four preseason games. Like, I know you were talking about going on a couple road trips and really making it a thing this year and trying to go to every single Chiefs preseason game. I know you're torn up that there's only going to be two.
I'm torn up because there should be none. Ever. Not even in COVID times. In regular time. Somehow high school football and college football managed out the preseason, but the best of the best, we need practice games. Get out of here.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines and we'll let you guys thank me for bringing Whataburger to Kansas City. We'll do that coming up in 15 minutes. I am the reason that Whataburger is coming. It is now official. We don't have to speculate anymore. They have announced that it is on their list for expansion cities and that they're going to bring one to the area. You don't need to thank that other guy who hasn't really done anything. You need to thank me. So we'll open up the phone lines and we'll give you guys 10, 15, however long you feel you need to properly thank the real reason that Whataburger is coming to Kansas City. We'll give you that opportunity coming up in 15 minutes. We can do it now if you want, but in 15 minutes, that's when we have the time allotted for you to thank the real reason that Whataburger is coming to Kansas City, and I am the real reason that it is coming. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. Let's get you guys the latest on Chris Jones, who yesterday insinuated that I ain't playing unless I get paid. Here's the latest from Mike Garafolo of NFL Network.
No, I'm going with the list. I'm going with the guy that's tied for number six. That would be Kansas City defensive lineman Chris Jones, who's on the tag at 16 million plus this year, but always viewed himself as a $20 million plus per year guy. The Chiefs, frankly, never did. Even before the whole COVID situation, never made an offer north of $20 million. Felt like they could get him somewhere below that. So a lot of work to be done here if there's going to be a long-term deal for Chris Jones, who was disruptive throughout the regular season and then in the postseason as well, had a pressure in the Super Bowl that led to an interception. This is a guy that has put up the production the last couple of years to deserve a long-term deal. Not quite sure it's going to happen, though.
So that is the latest with NFL Network and Mike Garafolo. To maybe put this in easier to digest term. The Chiefs have never made an offer to Chris Jones of $20 million. They're not willing to pay face value for good tickets. You guys know when you got those good seats. I ain't talking about the 337 PPs. I'm talking about the 101 row 5 seats 1 and 2. Your boy calls you up and says, hey, I got a deal for you, but I need face. They're 90 bucks. You're like, I'll give you 70. If you aren't willing to pay face, then you're not willing to go to the game and sit in those seats. That's what the Chiefs, Mike Garafolo just said, they've never made an offer of $20 million. Then you've never been serious about signing Chris Jones to a long-term deal. Like, there's no other way to hear that. We know what the market says. Look at what Fletcher Cox got. He was never going to accept less than what Frank Clark got. So you've never been serious about signing him, and I've maintained that this entire time. This is the question I want to ask. If we could go back in our time machine to last year before the NFL draft when they didn't have a pass rusher and they desperately needed one, and then we all got the breaking news that they had made a trade for Frank Clark, and we were all kind of catching up to speed and learning more about him. If at that moment you knew that they wouldn't be able to sign Chris Jones, because that's the decision that I think will determine if they're able to sign Chris Jones or not, would you still have made that move? The answer is a simple yes to me. They don't win the Super Bowl without that trade. And I actually think that Chris Jones is the better player out of the two. But you do not win the 2020 Super Bowl without the attitude, the leadership, and down the stretch, the play of Frank Clark. So if you're telling me that the end result of the Frank Clark trade is one Super Bowl, a productive player, but probably not a great player. Like right now, Frank Clark is getting paid like he's Khalil Mack. He's not Khalil Mack. He's being paid like he's DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't think he's that either. But he is a productive player in the NFL. A good player. I don't think he's great. This upcoming season, I think he gets 8.5, 9.5 sacks. He continues to bring that attitude. He sets the edge well. He's good against the run. He's a good player. Not worthy of the contract, but a good player. But you needed that last year. You needed that piece to help you get over the hump and get the defense to where they needed to be. So by that, they won the trade. The Frank Clark trade was always going to be a very simple pass-fail. Is this one of the reasons that you go to and or win a Super Bowl? And we got the answer in the first year. Yes. So it's a win. And if that means that you're not able to keep Sammy Watkins because of that deal, well, all right, you got to go. If you're not able to keep Chris Jones because of that, then all right, you got to go. But I've always thought that it's unrealistic to ask the Chiefs to sign the richest contract in the history of the NFL, which they are going to do before they play another football game with Patrick Mahomes, and he's going to get $40 million, and then turn around and ask them to be the first team in NFL history to have two defensive players that make $100 million, especially two that play on the defensive line. It'd be one thing if we were arguing Jalen Ramsey, a corner. It'd be one thing if we were arguing the best linebacker in the NFL, but that's not what we're arguing here. Two guys on the defensive line, both of them want 20, 20.5, 21 million per, and they want 60 to 65 guaranteed. It was never realistic for you to have two of those guys. So the same way that the Royals made their decision, whenever the Royals signed Alex Gordon to that deal, where they were unable to sign Lorenzo Cain to that deal, the same thing happened in Kansas City. They just pushed it down the line. So if I could go back in the hot tub time machine, I still make the trade. I think it was the right decision. They may be played the lesser of the two players, but I don't think you get the one without that trade. And the one is all it was about. You can replace Chris Jones. Might be hard. Might take two or three other players. But ultimately, I think you're able to replace Chris Jones. You obviously can't replace that one you just got. And it's now going to put you in the situation because of the franchise tag this year that you'll have two seasons with Frank Clark and Chris Jones, both in the prime of their career, both playing at high levels. You'll give yourself the first chance to win back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots in the early 2000s. And that's a great position to be in. One thing I think people always confuse when it comes to these conversations, I don't think the goal of every player is to sign a long-term deal. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, different situation. If they just get everything out of the rookie deal and then move on, we'll all look at that as being a win. If Edwards-Helaire over the next four seasons is one of the top eight running backs in the NFL, and the Chiefs decide at the back end of it, hey, we think we can replace you, we're going to spend this money elsewhere, we all would applaud it. They're following that same mentality with the defensive line position. Hey, we can pick up a defensive lineman, we just got one. I trust my ability in the draft. Look at some of the moves we made. We turned Mike Pinnell into a household name when people didn't know who he was. Look at what we did with Tano Passanio. Look at what Alex Okafor was giving us when he was healthy. We think we can make another one. The goal of these teams is to get younger and faster and cheaper. And the unfortunate part about Chris Jones is he's creeping up on that window where I think even from a time standpoint, it doesn't sound good. Chris Jones is about to be 28 years old. You're reaching that edge of where you're not young anymore by NFL standards. You're young by life standards. Like, you ain't too old for the earth. But you might be too old to get 65 guaranteed, 70 guaranteed, where we feel like we make up the value on the back half of that contract. You might be a little bit too old for that. I would not sign Chris Jones to this deal. I think they made the right decision. They took the one. And that's all that they needed to do. And Chris Jones, to me, should be an example of how The goal needs to be going forward. We got to continue to hit on rookie deals. It's not just drafting well. It's when we have these players on these cheap deals where it's firmly on our favor, we need to capitalize. Rob, let's be real here. So far, the Chiefs have gotten the better end of the deal than Chris Jones has based on his employment with his team. He's only made $6 million. They have gotten all-pro, top-five work from said player. The advantage meter is firmly on the Chiefs in this back and forth. Think about what's happened when they paid other players in their second deal. Justin Houston got great value on his rookie deal. Wasn't so hot when they paid him. Eric Berry. Now, not all of those situations end up being that, but there are far more examples of those big-money contracts not working than they are working. So the goal for this organization, especially with the money that Mahomes is going to be making, and I think the mentality of the front office to capitalize offensively with the best quarterback in the NFL and continue to give him weapons, you got to continue to find guys who are going to capitalize on that rookie deal. Colin Saunders has got to work out. This season, we were laughing and joking about Breland Speaks. He's got to give you something. When you get those top 60 picks, top 65 picks, and you take them on defensive players, they can't miss. And now you got Charvarius Ward. He's going to be off his rookie contract soon. You got to go find another Charvarius Ward that he's giving you top 25, top 30 cornerback in the NFL play, and he's making peanuts. That's how you win Super Bowls. Sure, you got to have the quarterback in place. You got to have the coach in place. You got to have your structure as an organization in place. You also got to hit on some deals where in a salary cap league, you're paying a guy $600K and he's giving you $60 million guaranteed production. And that's what they've done with Chris Jones. It's exactly what they've done. So if the worst case scenario with Chris Jones is he signed a five-year, $22 million deal with the Kansas City Chiefs, and then he go plays for the Washington Redskins on a five-year, $105 million deal with 60 of it guaranteed, you won. I don't care what Chris Jones does after he leaves Kansas City. You won. Because you got that production at that price, and that's a win. We're going to open up the phone lines, 913-576-7610. You will get the opportunity to thank the person who brought Whataburger to Kansas City. That person is not Patrick Mahomes. That person is moi. It's coming up, so drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Yo, man, we got beef. We, as I mean myself and all of you, Rob included. Phone line 913-576-7610. So I opened up the phone lines because I wanted people to give the proper credit and attribution to Whataburger coming to Kansas City. No one called. Not a single person called. Somebody didn't even accidentally call the wrong number. Rob answered it and then was like, oh, hey, you called the wrong station. So you guys are telling me that our city improved today. Our city is a better place. There's one person you can attribute that to. You have the opportunity to talk directly and thank that individual. And nobody wants to do so? I want to point out some information to you guys that maybe you forgot. Or maybe you're unaware of. So I tweeted about Whataburger February 19th of 2014. They tweeted me, do you think the great people of Kansas City would enjoy a Whataburger? I replied, yes. Whataburger then followed me on Twitter. Then they replied and said, Whataburger in the hills of Kansas City, definitely an idea worth sharing. I then replied, absolutely. So I put the idea in their head. And now you guys are going to come around and you guys are going to give my hard work to somebody else? How are you guys going to let Patrick Mahomes swoop in and then put his name on my work? I would never do that. I would never let Rob, let's say that Rob got Michael Jordan onto the show. He knew somebody that was cool with Michael Jordan's kid, and he convinced Mike to come on the show. I wouldn't now come on here and take all the credit for Mike. That's Rob. Let me give Rob his flowers. Yo, Rob, good job. That's what you guys are trying to do to me. You guys are trying to give Pat. Pat can't get credit for everything. Sure, he won Super Bowl MVP. Whoop-de-doo. Big deal. I guess. I mean, it's all right. I mean, other people have done it before. So, I mean, I don't know how cool it can be when it's happened so many other times, but whatever. Sure. He's won NFL MVP. Woo. Brady's won it multiple times. Peyton's won it multiple times. A running back's won it before. Like, how cool can it be if a running back can win it? Like, all right, whatever. But we had zero Whataburgers. And I got us one. And now you guys don't want to give me my respect? I'm serious. You guys don't want to give me my love. Rob, help me out here. Did I not do this? Is this not all my handiwork? Do I not get sole credit for this? I mean sole credit. I don't want any. Nobody else can share in a percentage of it. I want all 100% of the credit. It was me and only me. I did this.
I mean, based on your tweets.
Yeah, exactly.
The 2014, Patrick Mahomes was in college. This is your work.
Thank you.
I will give you proper credit.
That's all I needed.
You got the wheel turning for the idea to be implanted in everyone's head. You know what you did? You did Inception. You got everyone thinking about Whataburger in Kansas City. And now, the fruits of your labor, you're going to get Whataburger in Kansas City. As far as your 100%.
100%.
You don't think that the most iconic Kansas Cityan in current society deserves a little bit of credit?
No.
Is also a famous Texan, like a little bit?
No.
I'm like 80-20.
No.
90-10?
No. This is why I don't think Pat gets any credit for this. If you brought the idea of bringing Whataburger to Kansas City, and let's say that Whataburger decided, hey, we want to do this for Pat, wouldn't they put it closer to where he lives? Like, wouldn't it then be in Kansas? No. They know that my family lives close to where this location is. So they're like, hey, you know what? We're going to do this solid for CDOT. We're going to do this solid. Someone says there's no I in Whataburger. Okay. There's an I in incorporation, and I brought that incorporation to Kansas City. And I want my credit for it. Someone said, I guess, thanks. Put an exclamation point behind that when you addressed me. I'm still Hope Harrison, and I'm still hashtag CDOT Hope. But I want my credit for this. All of it. Somebody said maybe you'll get credit when you bring In-N-Out. No, I'm trying to keep In-N-Out as far away from the metro as possible.
I hope if In-N-Out comes, you get all the credit.
No.
You can get all the credit. You know what? You'll get blame from this guy. If In-N-Out shows up, I'll be angry.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hopefully they're on my side here. Shane, please give me all of my flowers.
I give you 100% credit.
Thanks.
We've been talking about this for years.
Shane, thank you. Shane, thank you. Somebody sees it. Somebody sees the vision. Somebody said CDOT's greater than Mahomes. That's what I've been trying to tell y'all. I've been trying to tell y'all this for years. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jeffrey, please give me my credit. I need it.
CDOT, the most iconic man in Kansas City. You did this.
Thank you.
100%.
Jeffrey.
You did this.
You know what? Give Jeffrey something. I'm putting him on hold. I don't know what we got, but let me put him on hold.
You can't have people come in the building.
I'll mail him something. Get Jeffrey's information. That's what I like to hear. Thank you. You guys know the vibes, to quote Rob. Give me a moment. Let me give a speech real quick. You know what? I want to thank social media for making this possible. I like to thank you, the listeners, for listening to this and being so supportive in this entire process. I'm going to do my best to try to get Whataburger on as a show, as a sponsor, so we can give away some coupons or something whenever they come up. Like, I don't know how their endorsement thing works, but I'm willing to do it for free. I'm willing to do it for a gift card every month. They don't got to pay me no cash. Give me Whataburger merch for the show, and also give me gift cards so we can all eat. If you do that, Whataburger, I'll do your commercials for free.
Throw in some spicy ketchup for the group.
For you, I got you.
Thank you. I'm my guy.
Somebody said, no, I'm not giving you any credit. I picked you in Survivor and I lost. I'm still salty about it. All right, I can't. You know what? If that's why you're not giving me credit, I actually understand. Like, I can't fault you for that. I can't. If you believed in me in Survivor. Now, let me tell you. 2020, I'm coming back with the vengeance. Last year was just a warm-up. This year is where I really break through. So I would ride with me again in 2020. I would roll one more time. But if that's why you're not believing in me, I fully understand why that is the case. So there was a story today, speaking of Whataburger, that a couple of American staples are filing for bankruptcy in the midst of the Rona. So Pizza Hut and Wendy's could potentially be going bankrupt. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not the biggest Pizza Hut fan in the world. I actually have come around on Domino's, and I was rocking with Papa John's, but, I mean, he said some stuff that I wasn't really fooling with it anymore, so I haven't been to Papa John's in a while. But those Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas, Rob, they were a staple. You remember the old Book It program? You remember over the summer where you had to read so many books and they would give you personal pan pizza or Royals tickets? I mean, that was a staple as a youth. Pizza Hut can't go. There might not be any place in American society where if I just showed you a picture of the cups, you know the cups I'm talking about from Pizza Hut, you would know exactly what store they came from. You can't do that with any other restaurant. If I just showed you a picture of that red cup, you guys know after football games, basketball games, after you got good grades to go to that Pizza Hut buffet, Pizza Hut can't close. We got to come together as a society to keep Pizza Hut open. I don't know what we need to do, but they gave us the stuffed crust pizza. They gave us the Book It program. I remember they had one promotion where they would give you a VHS of the first two episodes of X-Men. That's how old I am. They gave you VHS for the X-Men series if you got so many pizzas. Pizza Hut can't go. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. If we lost Wendy's, I wouldn't be too heartbroken. I mean, I like Wendy's,
Losing Wendy's would be bad. They have the best dessert of all the fast food places.
It would be bad.
It'd be sad.
I mean, I'm not pushing Wendy's out, but I don't know if I would be sad. I don't know. Tomorrow, if they said Wendy's is out of here, I don't know if I'd be torn up.
Ever since Wendy's brought the spicy nuggets back, I'd be sad. Now, if they took the spicy nuggets back off the menu, they can get all the way out of here.
Like
I'm done
Wendy's,
with them.
Though. I like Wendy's. I just don't know if I'd be torn up. But I want Wendy's to stay around. I want to always have the ability to go get a Frosty. I always want
the
ability.
We need that in society.
I always want the ability to get some of their fries and dip it into a vanilla Frosty. I always want that ability. But I'd be torn up if Pizza Hut was gone. Part of my childhood is at Pizza Hut. None of my childhood is at Wendy's. None of it. None of my childhood is at Wendy's. We got to keep those personal pan pizzas. We got to keep these for our kids and for the youth. We're losing too much now. 2020 is taking too much away. Chuck E. Cheese might be out of here. Pizza Hut may be out of here. We can't forget the Hut. How can we forget the Hut, Rob?
You're going to explain a pizza buffet to your daughter, and she's going to look at you like you have 12 eyes. Because they just don't exist anymore. And it's a sad, sad state of affairs.
I don't want to have to take my daughter to Pizza Street. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to. Any pizza buffet for $2.99 is not pizza I should be giving to another people. That's it. I'm serious. Oh, somebody said, yo, I hung up. Was Carrington serious about sending something? Yes, I'm serious. Ed, I'll take your phone call. Ed, give me my flowers.
I'm going to write you in for mayor. Because you did bring that up about bringing on the hamburger joint.
Ed, thank you, Ed. Mayor Lucas, you're out of here.
Just for the record, you know, he called it the hamburger joint.
Yeah,
so
that's fine. What, Mayor Lucas, I'm not going to run against you yet. I like you. You're my guy. I consider Mayor Lucas to be a friend. I'll let him finish this term. I might sit down and counsel with him about maybe him bringing me on for the second term. And then when he's out, that's when I'll run. So I'm not that far behind. I could be mayor at 39. That's still young enough. I can still get a lot done. And then believe me, there'll be more Whataburgers going around the KC Metro when I'm the mayor. I'm going to focus on real issues. That streetcar you guys have been wanting, I got it for you. You guys want that anchor tenant? That's all I'm going to focus on. I'll let everybody else handle all the other stuff. I'm focused on stealing the Orlando Magic and bringing them to the Sprint Center. That's the campaign I'm going to run on. I came up with that right here. You're hearing my 2028 campaign speech right now. Rob, you know what? You can work on my cabinet. I don't know what your responsibility is going to be, but I'll hire you. I'll hire you.
Can't even give me a high-level position right now and just a job?
I can't commit to that. I can't commit to giving you a high-level job. I got to see a little bit more work ethic. Maybe you got to grease some palms.
If you get Whataburger into the Power and Light across the street from a Magic okay. game, that's not, I got you.
I'm going to put you in charge of that. It's going to be your sole responsibility.
That's my gig.
That's got to be your responsibility. Let's get that Burger King out. You know the all one the
way,
I'm talking about?
All the way out of here. That's
let's
a
put Whataburger right there.
That's the move.
That's going to be our campaign. Coming up next, we had Joel Corey of CBS Sports on the show, who gave us everything we need to know about Chris Jones and coming to a long-term agreement with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll play it for you coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive. Thanks so much for listening on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Joel Corey of CBS Sports joined us to talk about Chris Jones and his contract demands. Here's what he said the neighborhood he believes Jones to be in.
If the Chiefs are looking at it from the standpoint that Grady Jarrett got signed $17 million on a franchise tag, if that's what they were thinking, my response would have been, like, you know what, I'll play it out and then we can revisit it next year. You can franchise me. And then if you want to franchise me again, that's fine and I'll walk. But this is a guy that, don't forget, set a record for sacks in consecutive games in 2018, had some injury problems last year, but was still pretty productive when he was healthy. So if you want Chris Jones long-term, you got to go there. And if you're not willing to go there, then maybe you just rent him at least this year, and maybe you try to trade him next year on a franchise tag or go year to year. But ultimately, if you're not going to pay him in that stratosphere, which is only going to go up.
That's the thing about Chris Jones. We talk about this all the time at other positions. It's no different at defensive line. The best time to pay Chris Jones was last year. The best time to gamble on Chris Jones and the kind of player that you thought he was going to be and worthy of this deal was last season. And every season that you wait and every year that you kick down the line and he continues to play at a high level, the number only goes up. He only becomes more entrenched in his position of wanting to get paid. And one thing too, Rob, and I don't know if we focus so much on this show, the salary cap is not going to be the same next season that it is now. The salary cap is going down. There is no possible way that the NFL salary cap is going to go up next season. So they're going to have some tough decisions to make around the roster. And not just with Chris Jones. Let's say that every team's salary cap comes down 30, 35, maybe $40 million. You're now adding Mahomes' number onto the book. Hill's number's going to go up. Clark's number's going to go up a little bit because you restructured it, so you pushed it down a little bit. Tyrann Mathieu's deal is going to go. Like, there are some contracts you can't move around. Like, at some point, you got to pay the bill, and you got to pay the cost on it. And they're getting to that point with a lot of their players. And now it's, do you want to have the flexibility to go out and make moves and do things? And I think they're giving you the answer with Chris Jones of, we value the flexibility more than we value the player. And I don't fault them for that strategy. To me, it's unfortunate what's happening with Chris Jones. I would love for Chris Jones to get paid. I would love for Chris Jones to get every single dollar that he is worth. And I hope that it would come from Kansas City. But I just don't think that it's coming from the Kansas City Chiefs. I really don't. I don't think that he's going to sign that deal that he's looking for. I don't think they can do it. In an ideal world, I just don't think they can do it. I don't know if they can lock themselves into the amount of contracts that they currently have, add two more, one being the biggest in the history of the NFL, one being one of the top eight defensive contracts in the NFL, embrace for a salary cap that's going to be reduced by 25, maybe 30%, and be good from a financial standpoint. As a roster, sure, but from a flexibility, do what you want to do. Can you keep everybody? I don't know if they can do all of those things. We asked Joe Corey what's the percentage chances that he thinks Chris Jones comes to a long-term deal this summer.
20%. I don't see it happening.
I think 20 might be a little bit generous. I think it's in the 10 to 15 range. I don't see it happening either. Ultimately, we're talking hypothetical percentages, so what does it matter? But that sounds about right to me. These reports do not materialize out of thin air. Contrary to belief, we media members don't all have one big group chat where we conspire to pass misinformation out. Because there's actually a lot of money in getting these things right. If you can get them right consistently, you can make a lot of money getting NFL information right. We keep finding out that the Chiefs don't value Chris Jones the way that Chris Jones values himself. And it's not just one person that gets this information. Basically, anybody that's plugged in the NFL, Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofalo, Adam Schefter, anybody that's plugged in the NFL continues to give you the same story. Yeah, Chiefs don't see it like that. Yeah, that's not how Kansas City views it. That's not what Kansas City is doing long term. Everybody has the same story. At some point, you got to start believing them. And I believe them. We had Pete Sweeney on the show earlier. He said that he doesn't believe that the Chiefs view Chris Jones as a defensive tackle of the future.
The Chiefs wanted to sign Chris Jones long term. They would have signed Chris Jones long term. They've had number of opportunities. They could have done it last offseason, kept their pick, and not traded for Frank Clark. They valued the defensive end position a little bit more. They obviously don't see Jones as being the long-term defensive tackle solution for this team. I know it drives a lot of fans crazy.
I think we saw what Pete is referencing in their actions. They had a choice last year. They had a chance to pay a top-end defensive tackle or a top-end defensive lineman. According to Mike Garofalo, they've never offered Chris Jones more than $20 million. They gave Frank Clark $20.5 million. They do clearly value Frank Clark to be that player. They couldn't wait to sign Tyreek Hill to a long-term deal last summer. The moment that the block wasn't hot anymore, he signed a deal 3 weeks later. The moment that it came out that he wasn't suspended, they raced to get a deal in place for Tyreek Hill. Now, I imagine that a lot of the heavy lifting was done before everything broke last summer. But the moment that the dust cleared, the moment that dark cloud wasn't over the suspension for the season, they came to a deal very quickly. They tell you who they want to keep and who they don't want to keep. Sometimes people just don't want to listen because they're emotionally attached to the player, but the Chiefs' actions dictate and they really enlighten us on who is part of their long-term plan and who isn't. And I don't see how we can look at it and look at their roster construction and then put the reports together and think that it comes to any other conclusion. I think he plays this season under the franchise tag. I think they franchise tag him again at the end of the season. And I think before next year's NFL draft, Chris Jones is traded for a first-round draft pick. Maybe a second because of everything that's going on. It's just one of those bad timing situations. But if you had to ask me right now, is Chris Jones on the team next year? I think the answer is clearly no. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Coming up, I was cyberbullied earlier today, and Rob didn't do anything about it. I'll explain coming up. So drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But there's a little bit of breaking news in the NFL. The contract numbers are out for Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. This deal is an absolute
Patriots quarterback
steal. What did I say?
You said Panthers.
Oh, my bad. Patriots quarterback. My bad.
Take some time.
Panthers. Patriots QB Cam Newton. Hell, the Chiefs should have signed Cam Newton if this was the deal. Listen to this. 1 year, $1 million base, $550,000 guaranteed at signing, 6.5 in incentives, and there's no clause that prevents the Patriots from franchise tagging him at the end of the season. This might be the best contract in the NFL that's not a rookie deal. Like, this might be legitimately the best deal in the NFL for a player that is not on their rookie contract anymore. 1 year, $1 million, $550,000 guaranteed. It doesn't matter if Cam makes or misses the team. It was worth this for the look to bring him in and see if he's healthy. And if you cut him, so what? This is 2 months of massages for Robert Kraft. $550,000? 3 months. This is nothing. This is probably gas in the private jet one time. That's the guaranteed money? 6.5 in incentives, and let's say Cam balls out this year. You then can franchise tag him, and then you get the right to negotiate with them exclusively next year? Every team in the NFL should have taken this deal. Chiefs should have brought Cam in for a backup deal if this was going to be it. Now, maybe Cam doesn't want to sign because it's clear he's not going to be the starter, so why would I do this deal? But that's nothing. It now makes the Adam Schefter report from a couple days ago, and I'll play it for you, it now makes it even crazier to me. It now makes the Schefter report even crazier to me that the only team to offer him was the New England Patriots.
Is that Cam Newton did not have any other offers from any other teams. There was nobody that was calling him and lighting up his phone, trying to recruit him to a certain city. There was one other team that did have one conversation with him. It was very brief. It didn't go very far. But the Cleveland Browns did speak to Cam Newton at one point in time. But those talks never really went anywhere. They did with New England, and Cam winds up on a one-year contract with the Patriots, which makes all the sense in the world.
About nine teams in the NFL should have been beating down the door for this deal. There's no reason, now that we know the financials, he's not a Jacksonville Jaguar and wasn't before the NFL draft. There's no reason why Washington did not bring him in for competition. Hell, if I'm the Broncos, I maybe make this move. Like, I know we believe that Drew Lock's going to be good this year. You know, I've been at the front of the line when it comes to the Broncos bandwagon. But what if we're wrong? What if Drew's not that guy this year? You bring in Cam on this deal. Worst case scenario is you cut him before the season. Best case scenario is he's insurance for Drew Lock. And if the Drew Lock experiment isn't going well, you still give yourself potentially a chance to be a wild card team. A lot of teams should have been in the Cam business if this is what it costs. A lot of people should have been in the business. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Rob and I got beef. This is the beef that we have. So you guys know that I brought Whataburger here to Kansas City. They're thinking about calling it C-Dot Burger. That's what they reached out to me and told me that they're considering it.
Carrington City?
That's what they're considering. So I came up with the question because I saw a lot of people that were saying, hey, we don't care about Whataburger. Let's get us in and out. So I posed the question online and Rob was like, hey, that's a good question. So I said, let's say the Q39 location on 39th Street. Let's say tomorrow that you have the ability to swap that Q39 out. So Q39's gone from 39th Street. Out of Kansas City. I believe there's another location, but they're gone. There's no more Q39. You now have the ability to bring in and out at those two locations. So Rob's like, yeah, tweet that out. It's a good question, man. Tweet that out. I've been getting cooked online. Q39 is tweeting me. Various members of Kansas City are tweeting me. And Rob's just sitting here chuckling. He isn't replying to any of them. He looked at me and said, that's what you get? And I'm like, yo, did you set me up for failure? It be your own people sometimes. You told me this was a good question. See, this is why I would do it. And you know, if you've been listening to this show, you know my stance on In-N-Out Burger. It's chronicle. You know my stance. This is why I would do it. Do I think that Q39 is better? Absolutely. I don't love Q39 the way some of you do, but it is definitely a better restaurant, the In-N-Out. I would switch it out for this reason. We got enough barbecue places. It's not like before Q39 came into our lives, we were walking around like, man, you know what? There's this void in my life that I don't know what it is. And then you tasted the burn-ins from Q39 and it solved all your problems. That's not what happened. Q39's good, don't get me wrong. But tomorrow, if there was no Q39, you know what you would do if you were at that 39 location? You would go around the corner to Joe's Kansas City. You would take a 10-minute drive and you would go to Gates. You would take 10 minutes and go to Jack Stack and you'd be just fine the way you were for generations before Q39 popped up. But there's no In-N-Out burger substitute to some of you. So I would make that trade. Now, I'm not going to In-N-Out Burger because it stinks. Their fries stink. Their food's incredibly overrated. And I shouldn't have to know some secret combination in order to make my food taste good. Anytime you listen to somebody tell you what to order at In-N-Out, it sounds like a Major League Baseball handshake. Like, you got to do 19 steps to understand it. I don't need all that. I don't got to do that at Five Guys to make the food taste good. I don't got to do that at Shake Shack to make the food taste good. I don't got to say, hey, psst, psst, there's a secret menu. Here's what you got to tell them. And now you got to blink 3 times and spin around to the person that can understand your order. I shouldn't have to do all that to get a good quality meal. So I'm not rolling with In-N-Out. But I assume you guys would be rolling with In-N-Out. So I tweeted this poll question earlier today because I was curious. It's at 5,000 votes. It is 78% no. 22% yes, we would make this swap. Rob, would you swap out? So right now, the Q39 locations that exist in Kansas City, Q39 closes up shop. They're gone. The people decide, hey, you know what? We want to do something else with our lives. In comes In-N-Out Burger on those two locations. Would you make that swap?
No. For all the reasons you said about In-N-Out, you know what I don't need in my life? The 6th or 7th best fast food burger place show up in town. If In-N-Out came in tomorrow, first off, Whataburger's coming in, so they're better. Five Guys, better. Shake Shack, better. McDonald's, better. Freddy's, better. Wendy's, comparable. All right, that grouping is already fine. I don't need the 6th best burger fast food place show up in town.
Six is pushing it. Six is pushing it. 16, maybe.
I mean, Burger King, if we want to have the conversation, we can go down that path. But I am never going to be upset with a bevy of great barbecue options. If this town had 25 elite barbecue options, and it might, that's a great town. I don't need the 13th best fast food burger place. And you've said this, and I agree with it 100%. The only reason people think In-N-Out food is good, because ask anyone, they're like, oh, I was in California. Oh, I was in Phoenix. Oh, I was in Vegas, and In-N-Out is awesome. It's because those places are awesome.
No, you're right, 1,000%.
No one's ever been like, I was in Fargo, North Dakota, and In-N-Out was fire. Shut up. That doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. This is the thing I honestly don't understand. Somebody help me here. Help me understand this. I don't get this about Q39. With all the barbecue locations that are in Kansas City, I'm not waiting that line for anybody. I'm not going to wait an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes to then get to the front of the line and then pay you for the food. That's not going down here. I think Q39 is a little bit overrated. I'm not saying that it's not good. I'm not saying that it's not good. But y'all hype it up just a little bit here. I've always called it the Oregon of barbecue. You remember when Oregon had their run? Oregon had a fantastic run. But it wasn't Ohio State. It wasn't Oklahoma. It wasn't Alabama. Those are staples, pillars. It's insulting to me that people try to put Q39 on the Mount Rushmore when the Mount Rushmore at Kansas City barbecue is complete. Bryant's, Joe's, Gates, Jack Stack. I'm not saying Q39 might not be at the top of that next list. I'm not sure if Q39 is better than Slaps. I'm not sure if Q39 is better than Big T's or LC's. I'm not sure. Now, I do want to point out here, I've never been to the restaurant of Q39. I've had a couple of to-go orders. I've also had it catered. It just didn't blow me away like it did everybody else. Didn't blow me away. I kept hearing that these wings were so amazing. I had the wings. Didn't blow me away. Not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's Oregon. Oregon was a great program. Oregon had a Heisman Trophy winner. Oregon was great. Was never Clemson. Was never Alabama. Was never Oklahoma. Was never Texas. It was a good top 10 program. But it wasn't up there with the elites. That's what I think Q39 is. I don't think it's up there with the elites. I think it's strong. I don't think it's up there with the elites. It just ain't been in the game long enough, you know? It ain't been in the game long enough. So that's my issue with Q39. I'm sure they're fine people, swell people. I hope they continue to flourish in business. They're not going out of business. We were just throwing the hypothetical out there. But I'm tired of you guys selling this false narrative. And I'm using the term false narrative. You sell it about Q39, and you sure as hell have been selling it about In-N-Out. Because that food stinks. That food is terrible. I'll never forget. You know when I started disliking Sam Mehlinger, it wasn't about his hot and cold takes.
He's actually right about the hot and cold thing, just for the record.
No, he's wrong. No. I was in Surprise, Arizona. He was like, yeah, go to In-N-Out, go to In-N-Out. I'm like, oh, cool. You know what? You're a reasonable guy. Very successful. I'm starting to think that people that like In-N-Out, their taste buds are broken. Like, you got to activate them or something. Like, I don't know. You got to turn your taste buds on. Those are the same people that don't put salt and pepper on their chicken. Like, that's the only way you could think In-N-Out tastes good. I'm telling you, ask anybody right now to tell you their In-N-Out order. And it sounds like a quadratic formula. Like, they have to do so many different things to get it to taste good. If you got to do all that, it's not good. If you got to put special sauce onto the fries, you know what I never have to do with McDonald's fries? Dress them up. I can eat them hot. I can eat them regular. I don't even need ketchup. That's how good McDonald's combination is. In-N-Out. I'd rather have cafeteria fries.
That's what they are, aren't they? It's the same.
No, it's prison cafeteria. The chow line. Coming up, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it locked in right here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.